Hi, everyone. Welcome to PL Buyer's first podcast. We're our first private conversation with a series, and we're talking today with Tom Blishock, who is President of Strategy and Global Innovation with Symphony IRI Group. He's been speaking here today at FMI's Private Brands Summit, just giving a very interesting talk, and he's agreed to give us a few minutes to talk a bit with our readers about what he said and what he sees ahead in the private label world. Thanks very much for joining us today, Tom. Great to have you. Let's talk a bit about your talk, and let's start out with your discussion about the new consumer. Is there really a new consumer today, a new shopper, and what do private label manufacturers and private label retailers need to know about that shopper?
Well, John, first of all, good morning and thanks for having me on the show today. It is really great to chat with you about what we think is a very important part of the retailing industry, which is private brands. In our research, we have learned that the shopper has changed dramatically. They have a lens of affordability. In fact, many shoppers are buying what they need versus what they want. And private brands are part of that. As we saw in the research we presented this morning, shoppers are buying every dollar. We believe that will continue to do so. And we believe that the private brand market today is in the $65 to $75 billion range, which makes it one of the largest, I'll call it, independent suppliers of products in the market today. We do expect that to continue. We do expect private brands to continue to grow. The shopper has changed dramatically in the way that they are shopping. Mm-hmm. So in looking at the shopper, we see this lens of affordability being a key issue. We see the idea of deselecting, being very careful about how they spend their money, ensuring that they get value. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's occurred over the past 6 months, or actually the past 2 years, is that shoppers now believe they get very good value from private brands and will continue to do so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Could you look for 1 second? Okay. Now, is it just price that shoppers are looking for today in private label, or is there more to it than that?
Well, there's a lot more to it. The private label manufacturers, if I sort of crystallize strategy, what I saw was in 2009, it was a year of, I'll call it, manufacturing innovation. Mm-hmm. Actually, 2008, 2009 might be years I'll say that 2008 was the year of manufacturing innovation. Mm-hmm. 2009 was a year of pricing innovation, and I believe this year is the year of value innovation. So we're starting to see private brand products come to market, which are solving multiple issues. For example, we saw in Switzerland a unique product which combined, I'll call it, rinse along with laundry detergent in an effort mm-hmm. to change functionality. Mm-hmm. So this year, to me, the manufacturers are looking at packaging change, functionality change, some technology change. And when we ask the shoppers what they are looking for, they're looking for value also. So one of the most important shape shifts that's occurring in the private brand capability today is, I'll call it, the innovation of use, mm-hmm. the innovation of purpose, such as health and wellness, mm-hmm. and maybe the innovation of messaging. Mm-hmm. Very big change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so innovation, retailers and the manufacturers of private label have to be thinking innovation all the time.
I would tell you that if I looked at shoppers, they're loosening up about 10% of their dollars at this point. Mm-hmm. They're looking for new things to buy. They're looking for ways to change their lifestyle. There's a couple of, as I said earlier in the presentation, we are at the point of almost imminent downward mobility in the United States. By the way, it's around the world also. Mm-hmm. So people are looking for ways to simplify their lives, to make choices that are trusted choices. Mm-hmm. And one of the major shifts that occurred over the past 3 years is that private brands have become trusted brands, mm-hmm. with approximately 99% of American households now having private brands in some form, in mm-hmm. some category in the household. Wow. We expect that to continue.
Wow, that's good news for private label manufacturers and for the retailers. You talked about where people make their decisions on picking up a private label product, and it's predominantly in the store. And what are the implications of that for the retailer?
Well, there's a couple implications, and I want to make sure that we don't leave the interview today with just a perspective of just private brands. Mm-hmm. Shoppers are balancing brand purchases. Mm-hmm. There are some trusted brands that are national brands, and there are trusted brands which are private brands. One of the most important steps that a retailer manufacturer can take is to really understand how to position both very, very effectively. Mm-hmm. So we absolutely believe that the strategy has to be cooperation or collaboration or coopetition, mm-hmm. where you create mm-hmm. tension in a way where you actually, or creative alignment, where you bring both products together. So the most important part about the strategy around private brands growth is balancing with the fact that shoppers don't have the money to experiment and not like. Mm-hmm. Very important issue. Mm-hmm. Now let's go back to your question. So let's repeat your question for a second.
So the question was, people make their private label buying decisions in the store. What does that mean for retailers?
Well, a couple things. Probably the most important things it means. So let's put in context percentages. Today, about 80% of the shopping decisions are made in the home for CPG products. On that shopping list, and people are creating shopping lists, about 80% of people create shopping lists. 77 to 80% of people create shopping lists. What is unique about that is on that list is about 75% categories and 25% brands. Let's fast forward that now to the in-store experience. So what happens in this case here is Sue or Mary or Pete or Jack go into a store and they want to buy pork and beans. Or they want to buy soda pop, carbonated beverages. They'll go to the store and they'll begin to do some comparison shopping. So one of the things that's occurring here is that shoppers are actually looking to compare national brands with private brands. So one of the issues that retailers and manufacturers must do is to be very, very clear and articulate the value properties of a private brand in order to allow the shopper to make an intelligent decision about what he or she wants to put in that basket.
Okay. And one of the areas you mentioned that private brand manufacturers and retailers should be aware of is the health and beauty areas. You talked about health, beauty, wellness all sort of coming together and opportunities there for private label. Go into that a bit.
Well, when we did our research, not only around private label, but around or private brands, also around just national brands in general, we wanted to understand this growing, I would call it tsunami, of focus on health and wellness. Now what's interesting about that is that people are saying to us that they cannot afford to go to a doctor, so and they can't afford complex medical health care, so they're saying, I want to look good and I want to feel good, which translates to, I'll call it, a health and wellness initiative. Now, health and wellness in America today is about a $2.1 trillion business. And if you move to preventative care, what we are at is we are at about a $100 billion new business. So being able to address this issue of health and wellness, better for me, better for my family, healthier for me, is a very important strategy to consider in private brands.
And you think it's an area that private brands aren't paying enough attention to right
now? I think they could pay better attention to it in their labeling, in their testimonials, in their usages, in their packaging. By the way, when we say better for me and my family, that also means sustainability. So it's not just the product, it's the packaging. So when you look at better for me or health and wellness, it's all-encompassing. And what is occurring is that when I say looking good and feeling good, one of the first steps that the shopper is taking today is to try to look better, to feel better. So there is some role that beauty plays in health and wellness. Next generation products are going to be very, very, for example, better for my skin, better for my sugar levels, better for my my attitude, or better for my mindset, et cetera. Very interesting developments are going to occur in products. Private brands can lead some of that innovation.
So going back to where we started earlier, it's not just price. It's going to be better for you as well.
Absolutely.
And in terms of innovation, it's going to be packaging innovation as well as product innovation.
Packaging, messaging, signage, ingredients, flavors. So it's again, more of a holistic approach. It's, as I said in the presentation, the largest or fastest growing category in the home today is called meal ingredients and components. It's not about making from scratch. It is, however, about assembling meals. One of the issues there are flavors. So with people retracting some spend from restaurants, they want to try to recreate some of those flavors in the home. That's a very interesting part of a value equation.
Okay. And maybe in our last minute or two, you could sum up some other key takeaways from your talk. What were the? You had one very interesting slide at the end of your presentation that summarized some of your key points.
Yeah, I believe this year is going to be a year where we're going to see private brand manufacturers take competitiveness to a little different level. And by that I mean I see private brand manufacturers recognizing that they must understand private brand shoppers. Mm-hmm. So building a capability around consumer intelligence, shopper intelligence, mm-hmm. is very critical this year as one of the cornerstone investments that I think that private brand manufacturers must build to drive a new competitive positioning. Mm-hmm. With that comes the realization that product innovation must essentially advance. Mm-hmm. That's also extremely critical, which means that based upon segmentation, by the way, it's not traditional segmentation, but it's needs and use-based segmentation. Mm-hmm. How do people use this product? Where does it fit into their basket? How do they consume it? Mm-hmm.
So it's not just demographics.
It's not just demographics anymore. And in fact, I would tell you that demographic segmentation is interesting, mm-hmm. needs and usage-based segmentation is compelling. Mm-hmm. We see that every single day of the week. Mm-hmm. I think an area that's also important is that retailers and manufacturers must learn how to cooperate differently. Mm-hmm. In other words, private brands are not going to go away from the shelves, and national brands are not going to go away from the shelves. Mm-hmm. So it's an issue of, with both the retailer and the manufacturer, understanding who is really buying my product and how they're consuming it. I see a ability to shape categories to include both private brands as well as national brands. I think that both national brands and private brands are going to have to figure out what's the new value equation beyond price. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that we've taught the shopper to buy on price. In fact, in 2009, manufacturers spent between $26 and $32 billion to promote deals. That didn't change consumption a lot. By the way, I got to tell you, I don't think consumption is going to change a lot with the current economic sobriety. Mm-hmm. However, what that translates to is that we have to begin to reposition products in the household based upon needs and usage, not just based upon price. I think a fourth piece that's pretty important is that I see that assortments are going to expand a little bit this year in private brands. More choice in the private brands. So instead of just one item, there may be three items. Why is that important? Because the shoppers, in fact, are asking for that. So that goes back again to the product innovation. And I think the final piece that's really important is that, as we showed today, there are markets which are in growth for private brands, and there's markets which are in growth for national brands. It proves the point of cooperation. What's important is for the manufacturers to understand to go where the sweet spots are and to continue to grow their businesses in that fashion. 2010 is going to be a challenging year. 2010 may be even a more challenging year. But three things I do know which are fact. One is that intensity of knowledge around shopper is critical. Innovation will be critical, and that will be multidimensional. And being aware of precision changes, slight changes in the marketplace, allows you to compete differently. As a retailer first, as a national brand manufacturer, and as a private brand manufacturer. All three of those must link together with the shopper at the center of the decisions they make.
And the new shopper, the new consumer, isn't going away anytime soon.
I believe the new consumer is permanent. In fact, I got to tell you, people often ask me the question, what is the new norm? We are at the new norm now. This, what people buy today is what they're going to buy. You're going to see some shift of a couple percentage points here or there. This is, in fact, the new norm, and I don't see that norm changing for at least 4 to 8 years, and I'm not even sure what's going to stimulate a change if it does change. So we are in, as I started early in the conversation, a place of conservative and or downward mobility, not the kind of mobility we saw for the past 50 years where explosions everywhere occurred.
Okay, great. Well, great insights for our readers and listeners. Thanks very much. We've been talking with Tom Blishock with Symphony IRI. He's been speaking here at the FMI Private Brands Summit, and we thanks very much, Tom. Thank you very much for sitting down with us.
Thanks, John. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.